Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Thursday, April 21st, 2022. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by the Dean of Ohio State Football Recruiting, Bill Kerlick. I am joined by Mark Porter, the man behind Scouting Ohio, does a lot of great stuff for Bucknuts as well. If you guys have any questions, shoot them our way. Mark, I want to start with you, my man. You've done a nice – most of the show is going to be about Ohio State recruiting today, but you did a really nice breakdown, a two-part breakdown for the site on Jim Knowles' new defense. Give us the Cliff Notes version of your excellent breakdown of Jim Knowles' defense. What are you seeing so far from this new-look defense?
Yeah, I think we went beyond the Cliff Notes because I think that's what the Bucknutters have been getting for the past couple months is just Cliff Notes from what he had done in the past. We hadn't seen it really in action with the Buckeyes, but what we did is we took a look at that three-safety look. We took a look about how that safety is going to have to come down in the box, whether it's in the middle to play middle linebacker or whether it's on the edge to play the flats in the C-gap or D-gap. Kind of pointed out a few areas of stress for the opposing quarterback, which means the pre-snap read. Whatever you're looking at pre-snap is not what you're going to get post-snap. The safeties are moving around. They're showing you a vanilla cover two, and it's rolling to cover three. So the complexities there were nice to see, even though it was supposed to be a vanilla package in the spring game. We weren't going to show a lot or game plan. And then the other thing we showed is how the safeties get stressed out when they come up on an island in the alley. That's a lot of ground for them to cover. Trying to wrangle down an elite athlete in the open field is one of the harder things to do in sports. You'd rather have him in a confined area in a phone box tackling him. So as we saw safeties come down in the box, you saw the one-on-one battles. That's something I think we could foreshadow this season. You're going to see a lot of safeties coming down and making some open field tackles or conversely not making the tackle.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this Jim Knowles defense. One more for you, Mark. I mean, should a guy like me and Buckeye fans out there, should we expect a lot? I know they're going to improve. That's a low bar. How much do you think they'll improve? Can they improve exponentially, or is that too much to ask, you think, this year? Mark, what do you think? You think they can improve exponentially this year, or is that too much to ask? Can you hear me, Mark? I think we might have lost Mark there. Bill, can you still hear me?
I can hear you fine, Dave, and I think we lost Mark.
Let me kick it to you. Yeah, maybe we'll get Mark back on. Hopefully, it looks like he's froze up. Live podcasting, my friends. Bill, I'm not expecting what Jeff Hafley did because I think the talent was a little bit better on that 2019 defense. I like the talent on this defense, but I am expecting a big improvement defensively. I'm not talking about a minimal improvement. Is that too much to ask in your opinion? Is that kind of what you expect too?
I do expect that, Dave. And I think you hit it on the head. I don't know that the talent is quite what it was then, especially at, you know, on the defensive line. They have good defensive linemen, don't get me wrong. They have guys that were highly recruited or good players, but you look back at the past 10 years or less, and there is not a Joey or Nick Bosa there right now, at least. There's not a Chase Young there again right now, at least. Those guys don't come along too often, so I think to me, their challenge will be creating a pass rush, which they have had a hard time doing the last couple of seasons, but I think they're going to be better at it. And I think we should all expect quite a bit of improvement. I think Jim Knowles is doing a great job, and there will be that improvement.
We got Mark back, it looks like. Mark, you with us?
Yeah, I'm not sure where I cut off. If you just hit me where I cut off, I'll pick up where I left off.
Yeah, I just was asking you, we'll just hit this one more time, then we'll move on to recruiting questions. I'm expecting a big improvement from this Jim Knowles defense from last year. Is that realistic to expect a big improvement? in year one?
You know, I don't think the defense was horrible all of the games last year. I think there were a couple that magnified it, obviously the biggest ones. Looking at this defense, there's going to be improvement, no doubt. How big is that, you know, in rankings? Do you move up into the top 20 in the national, you know, of the overall rankings? But like I said, on this film, it's totally different. I mean, last year was, you know, 4-3, and the linebackers were standing 7 yards off the ball. The cover four shell was there every play. This is not what you're getting this year. It's disguised. It's hidden. There's guys moving around, and you're putting an extra athlete on the field where you have an extra safety, and you're taking off a linebacker or the linebacker's playing defensive end. So you're actually adding speed to the defense by the way you set it up. It was certainly interesting to see in a vanilla look during a spring game, but I think there's improvement, and I'm not one to gauge, you know, what would make the Buckeye fans happy, how much of an improvement. I think the W's is where we need to improve. And with the offense Ohio State had, I think you just needed a middle-of-the-road defense some weeks last year, and the offense would put up enough points at your back where, you know, you could give up a few touchdowns and survive.
Let's hit some recruiting questions, gents. Bill, we'll go to you on this one. Jay Henry Miller wants to know, which three or four receivers do you expect to end up in the Buckeyes 2023 class?
Well, they have one right now, and Mark and I talked about this a little bit beforehand. That being Bryson Rogers, and Mark will be talking about doing, I believe, one of his evaluations of him coming up on Bucknuts. But Bryson Rogers is in the class, committed to Ohio State over the weekend. He's a wide receiver out of Florida, out of the Sefferell Hills area. And anybody that's a longtime Buckeye fan knows that area from a pretty good player that Ohio State had, none other than Ryan Pickett. A little side story about Ryan. When he was recruited, I remember clearly, he wasn't the number one defensive tackle in the country. He wasn't ranked that way really by anyone. He was ranked high, but he wasn't ranked that highly. And Jim Haycock, who was the defensive coordinator at the time and recruited him, told me after they had gotten him that, as he put it, we just signed the best defensive tackle in the country. And lo and behold, that is exactly the way that played out. If you look back at the rankings for that year and the guys, Ryan Pickett turned out to be the best defensive tackle in the country. So just a little side note there. But Bryson Rogers will be one of the ones in the class. And I think he's a little bit underrated. In fact, I think he's outstanding. He's one of the top wide receivers in the South. And Ohio State was very happy to get him. The other two that I think right now will be Buckeyes, at least I have them in my Ohio State class, my projected class, so to speak, right now, are Carnell Tate, who's also from Florida, IMG, although he is really from Chicago, but he's from Florida now. And then the other one I have in the class is Brandon Ennis. Those are 2 5-star guys. Will they get them both? We'll see. But right now, I like Ohio State's chances. I think Ohio State at least pulled even for Carnell Tate. I'm sorry, for Brandon Ennis. They at least pulled even with his last visit here with USC and maybe took a slight lead and is trending in the right direction. With Carnell Tate, I felt for a while that his most likely destination is Ohio State.
Mark, I want to ask you about the strength of the recruiting class from the state of Ohio in 2023. Obviously, the Buckeyes have the number one player in the state committed, Luke Montgomery. They got the number three player in the state, Joshua Padilla. They've got a couple other kids from the state of Ohio. Padilla is ranked as the number three player in the state. How strong is this class compared to previous classes in Ohio? Just what's the strength of this 2023 Ohio class, Mark?
Yeah, I don't think it's very strong, actually. And I'm not going to say it's because of COVID or anything like that, but there was certainly a lull there for a couple of years where I don't know if kids were training. I don't know if they were on the field in the same way. I don't know if they can be around each other in the same way that they had been over the past years. And at the top of the class, even in the class of 2024, Ohio State's only offered Bryce West out of Glenville. There hasn't been a lot of Ohio State offers in this class or the other class. That being said, Ohio still delivers in the offensive line department, which we're taking three out of in the class of 2023. We better do that in Ohio. Ohio's known for linebackers, tight ends, offensive linemen. Yeah, we're going down south to get skill guys. That seems pretty cliche to say that, but Ohio's still delivering the offensive line department, but really, if if you had me to rank the past 15 classes, I'd say it's a middle of the road class, maybe a little bit below. You know, I mean, I'd like to see back in the trestle days, it's easy to take 10 kids from Ohio, and there might be a few more. Where now it seems like when we get to five, number six and seven are kind of tough to come by. You know, and I don't want to say you're reaching in Ohio, because there are going to be kids that go to Michigan, Notre Dame, Penn State, and other places that end up in the NFL, and we'll have 20 NFL kids in this class. But who's winning the race right now isn't as clear.
You guys see this slander from a Titans fan saying the Bengals suck. He's saying, go Titans. I don't know. What happened in the playoffs when the Bengals and Titans played? I tell you what, if Ryan Tannehill's your quarterback and I have Joe Burrow, you might not want to talk too much smack. Okay. First time in 20 years I get to talk smack about my team, and I'm doing it. We're 1 week away from the draft, so I had to wear my Bengals hat. Rock this. All right, Bill, a couple of questions for you. These are both from Jason. Jason wants to know, what do we know about Caleb Downs and Caden Lee? And also Jason wants to know, Bill, any word on A.J. Harris? So, Bill, Caleb Downs, Caden Lee, A.J. Harris, go.
Well, first of all, A.J. Harris, unless something drastic happens, and I don't expect it to, A.J. Harris isn't going to end up in this Ohio State class. He's pretty much a lock to go elsewhere now. I think if I had to make a pick for him right now, it'd probably be Florida. But wherever he goes, it's not going to be Ohio State unless something drastic changes, which I don't expect. On the other hand, Caden Lee, I have him crystal ball to Ohio State. Caden Lee is the cornerback that originally committed to Georgia and then decommitted. And right now, I like Ohio State's chances there. The other one, Downs, is certainly one of the country's top safety prospects. And Ohio State is absolutely in it for him. They are one of his top choices, and they are going to be in it until the end. Where he goes right now, that's a question mark. But Ohio State is absolutely going to be, is and is going to be one of the finalists for him. And if they could somehow pull him out of Georgia along with Kay and Lee, you know, what a coup that would be.
No doubt about it. All right, let's go right down the list here. Bill, another one for you. Mark, you can always chime in too if you want to. We don't want to leave you out, buddy. Another one for Bill here. This is from Yakov 22. Bill, what do you think about Michigan's 2023 class so far? How are the Fighting Harbaughs doing, Dean?
Well, the Fighting Harbaughs are doing okay. I mean, you know, they've got a good class. You know, I don't, when all is said and done, expect it to be on, you know, the caliber of Ohio State's 2023 class. I think Ohio State will have a better class, but Harbaugh's doing okay, especially when you kind of look at the problem, I guess, you have when your coach on National Signing Day is basically out interviewing for another job. Not necessarily the best look, but they're going to do okay. I don't necessarily think they're going to have a top 10 class, but if they don't, I think they'll be a borderline top 10 class.
All right, to talk about that, they need to capitalize in Ohio. You beat Ohio State for the first time in a long time. You need to bring home the benefits of the spoils or whatever, you know, like, and I think Glenville was up at Michigan a week or so ago, and, you know, I mean, the whole Glenville team. So I think they've opened the door, and they want to get that pipeline going up there. They've offered Arvell Reese and some of these other guys out of Glenville. You saw some offers go out last week to the kid at Taft, Elias Rudolph. So Michigan has not landed anybody from Ohio in a couple of years, but that's more the question is, can they just come across the border a few miles and be effective, which – you know, in the Harbaugh years, name me the player at Michigan that they've got from Ohio that's made a difference for their team. So I'm kind of looking at it from that angle. And if we talked a few seconds ago, if the Ohio class isn't that great, well, they're not going to dip down and take players they think aren't that great. They're trying to match apples for apples and beat OSU. You know, they'd like to take Austin Siervelt from Notre Dame and Alabama and Ohio State. That's what they need to kind of do. And look at them for Ryan Montgomery and his brother. You know, I think they're still after Ryan. I mean, they made a hard play for Luke.
And to go back, Dave, real quick, their class right now, Michigan's that is ranked number 16 in the country in the 247 sports composite. So, again, they're doing okay. Ohio State's class right now is ranked number 2 in the country in the rankings, 247 sports composite. Michigan has 6 commitments, and Ohio State currently has 9. So, again, they'll do okay. Just I don't see them doing what they I don't see them challenging Ohio State, really.
We're perfectly fine with them recruiting okay, as Ohio State recruits great. We're good with that. All right. I can hit this one. You guys can chime in, too. Bill, you and I talked about this on the postgame show on Saturday. Will Ohio State look in the transfer portal for offensive line depth? Ryan Day seems concerned about the depth, says Steve. Ryan Day doesn't seem concerned about the depth. Ryan Day is concerned about the depth. Yeah, as Bill and I talked, will they land somebody in the portal? I don't know on the offensive line. Will they look in the portal? Absolutely. Bill, are you hearing anything on that front? I think it's just safe to say Mark Pantoni, Ryan Day, they're going to leave no stone unturned. And they need depth on the offensive line. The thing is, there's not like an open starting spot, so it's a little tricky. It's not like when Jonah Jackson transferred here in 2019 after Michael Jordan left, there was an open spot. So whoever they get would be a depth piece, unless they do bring in someone to fight for a starting job. But I do think they'll at least look in the portal to add depth there. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. You know, their offensive line's pretty solid, the starting group. So to come in and take somebody's place on that offensive line, you're going to have to be really good. Those guys don't typically end up in the portal. And if they do end up in the portal, tremendous competition for them. You know, could they go get a backup? Certainly that's possible. But I think you hit on the head. There's no Jonah Jackson that's going to come in and they're going to be able to say, hey, you can come in here. We got this starting guard spot ready for you. You're an all Big Ten type caliber player, come on in, and that's exactly what he does. So, like you said, they're going to look. They do a fantastic job of looking at all options, United States, Europe, wherever. They find all their options. But, again, right now, too, they're, I believe, either right at or one over the scholarship limit. And Dave, you can help me with that one. I think they're either right at or one over. So, you know, they're not looking to add a lot. They don't have room right now.
You might be right. Now, I need to think about that. They might be right at the limit now. I need to break that down. They're either 86 or 85. I should know that.
You know, like, dude, I want to bring this up. Do scholarships matter with NIL? I mean, what's the cost to go to Ohio State? Why don't we just write a check for the guy we need and give him a little extra? I mean, I think that's the day and age we're in right now where, yeah, some people have scholarship limits, but you know, when you're giving a quarterback at Tennessee $8 million, is the scholarship even relevant? I mean, is he paying his own tuition and then they give his scholarship to one of the walk-ons or something? So, you know, like, don't think that they're not going to think outside that box. And, yeah, it's got to be portal or, you know, even luring somebody. I mean, let's talk about that. Like, you know, if you're, you know, look for the best tackle in the country and, you know, what's he getting paid? You know, he can come over here and he doesn't have to sit out a year. I'm the type of guy that says, why are we doing things right? Why don't we do some things, you know, in this new era of NIL where, you know, go steal somebody.
Bill, I have a question for you. Speaking of the portal, I know you did a story on kicker Parker Lewis from USC, same high school as Denzel Burke. Now, this is strange to me. Nothing against Parker Lewis. The whole Noah Ruggles situation is strange to me. First of all, why would they be looking at a transfer portal kicker if Noah Ruggles was coming back? Noah Ruggles missed all of spring. Turns out he was just hanging out in Hawaii. People, I don't think, people like kind of glossed over that. I don't think Ryan Day wants to set the precedent, even if it's a, you know, great kicker like Noah Ruggles. I don't think he wants to set the precedent. Yeah, you can just take spring off if you want to. No big deal. Man, I mean, they wouldn't be looking at a kicker if something wasn't up with Noah Ruggles. Break that down for me. Why are they looking at a kicker in the transfer portal, and what are you hearing about Noah Ruggles?
Well, I will say it like this. 3 years. Parker has 3 years left of eligibility. So he's not a one-year guy like most of these transfer portal guys are. He was very, very good for USC. They didn't necessarily want him to leave. I mean, he was, I think, Pac-10 or Pac-12, whatever they are out there, specialist of the week. And at times, you know, he's good. He has got an extremely strong leg. So, you know, the idea would be that he could be your long field goal guy because he did make, I think, 17 out of 24 or 23 field goals, something like that, with a long of 52. He's got the leg. Over 75% of his kickoffs went for touchbacks. So he has something to add that Ruggles doesn't. Ruggles is as good as it gets, 40 yards or so on in. But this guy is a weapon kicking it off, and he's a weapon on long field goals. So they could theoretically bring him in, and he do those jobs for a year and then be there in position to be the Iowa State's do-it-all guy. Now, will that be good enough for him? That's the question. He did it all last year. Does he want to kind of, so to speak, take a step backwards? Does he feel like he will have a real chance to beat out Ruggles for everything this year? That's things that only he can answer right now.
Hey, Mark, let's do a shameless plug for some of the things you're going to be doing for the site coming up. I know you're going to be doing breakdowns on Dylan Raiola, the outstanding 2024 quarterback who looks like is Buckeye bound, not official yet. And then the two most recent commits in the 2023 class, corner Dijon Rogers, or excuse me, Dijon, is it remind me
John
his last
Johnson.
Name.
Dijon Johnson.
Dijon Johnson, excuse me. Dijon Johnson and then Bryson Rogers. I wrote down Rogers twice. Wide receiver Bryson Rogers. And then Dijon, and then obviously quarterback Dylan Raiola. What can fans expect from your breakdowns of those guys?
Yeah, Dylan Raiola starts his film off with five or six throws from 60 yards out, and it looks like he's flicking the ball. And obviously he's on a commitment watch right now, so he's going to be a quarterback we're all going to like to see. And it's amazing how they keep finding these quarterbacks. Dijon Johnson, documented 4-5 laser time, 6'1", 190 at corner. I mean, he's built to play right now. I mean, I know he's not plug and play, but that's great size for the corner. And then we talked about the receiver already. Bryson, he is a clone of Chris Olave. I mean, silky smooth. His release moves, I mean, he's shaking people down off the line in press coverage. And, I mean, they're throwing a no-hitter. And they're whiffing on the kid. They can't put a finger on him. So, three guys this week to look forward to after the breakdowns of the spring game.
Love it, love it, love it. Bill, we had a question. Somebody wanted to know what's up with running back Richard Young. This is from Steve. Wants to know, where are we at with Richard Young? This is coming from Steve.
Well, I don't think in my mind anything has changed as far as my overall thinking of his situation. I've said for a long time that while he's got offers from everybody across the country, he's going to end up at one of three schools, Ohio State, Alabama, or Georgia. And I still think that's the case. Would I go with Ohio State or right now? No, not right now. Simply because he's got three great schools there. He's going to look at them all and visit them and all that. And he's been to Ohio State already. And, you know, we'll see where he picks or who he picks. But, you know, I still think he's going to end up at one of those three schools.
Good stuff, gentlemen. I appreciate your knowledge, as always. For those that are wondering, Dan Rubin and I switched days on the show. He hosted yesterday with Dane Brugler. Check that show out if you guys haven't already. NFL draft expert Dane Brugler from The Athletic joined the show yesterday. So Dan and I switched days. I'm happy to get a chance to talk to my guys, Bill Kurlick and Mark Porter. Thank you to all the listeners out there and viewers for tuning in, all the great questions. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them, but we appreciate you guys tuning in. If you like the show, like, subscribe, give us a five-star review. All that stuff really helps. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to Bill. Thanks to Mark. Hope everyone has a great day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.